the latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsforum. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and Kent the Sormon Afternoon Delights, absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 938-4643.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
You can hear Indiana by the light switch. Who watches over you? Make a little birdhouse in your soul. Not to put too fine a point on it. Say I'm the only bee.
We're back at the races and just about 10 plus in to hour three. And what an overdue pleasure this is. I was speculating earlier in the show that those of us at Derby Trail, we came across Kev Humphreys at either Churchill or at a Breeders' Cup or Arlington. I can't remember. But all of a sudden, we had basically co-opted him. We adopted him. He kept showing up at big race days in America, and just a complete delight to welcome Kevin Humphreys to the show. Kev, good morning, afternoon.
Steve, thanks for being, thanks for the intro. Yeah, I don't know what to say to that. He's pretty much kidnapped me. I think it was the 2006 Breeders' Cup in Churchill. Was that right?
That sounds right. That feels right. Yes. Yes.
And it was, yeah, that was good fun. It was brilliant. And, yeah, I think we had we hit it off straight away. And, yeah, no, we've been friends ever since. So it's been, this is an absolute honor and delight to have me on the show. Really, really appreciate it.
Well, you're like, our, you know, one of our regular, friends that show up at the racetrack, and you know, you go all over the world, to follow the sport, and you love any kind of racing, and it just, this was a perfect opportunity, and you know, those that are within your circle of friends, you know, whether it's on Facebook or Twitter and however other, you know, ways that everybody communicates these days internationally. You know, you've been handing out winners all these various, you know, various meetings, whether it's Dubai or whether it's Hong Kong and, you know, any Cheltenham and, you know, any other of the most, you know, anticipated stands, you know, Breeders' Cup, the international competitors. So I figured, and I was being urged, people kept writing, why don't you have your man Kev Humphries on? So here it is.
As I say, it's great, and I'm over in London now today, and I'm calling over to my brother who lives over here, but it's my favorite week of the year. Just the racing is absolutely fantastic, and just love trying to find winners, and you know, if I get to see winners, it's great, but if a few followers and a few of my friends get winners, that's just as good, if not even better.
Nice. Well, let's give everybody a bit of an overview. And of course, I had Nick Luck on Friday, Kev, and you know, we talked about, you know, the big opening racing day tomorrow, the Queen Anne, the Coventry, the King's Stand, the St. James, the Ascot and the Wolferton. And, you know, that no other meet, you know, starts off with three group ones like this. The St. James should be really entertaining. Let's just kind of go through and you know, throw out any thoughts that you've got race by race.
I echo completely what Nick and yourself discussed, maybe in a less polished way than Nick, but it's just bam, 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 probably the top five races straight away. And I think maybe just the starting point might be kind of throwing my amateur weatherman's hat on, because I think it's been quite unsettled in London over the last week or so. And I think it's lovely here today, it's going to start probably on the good side, maybe not that quick, maybe not as quick as last year, and a little bit slower. And so it's maybe something just to bear in mind. So I think, you know, like I always try to pick a couple of horses to you know, some value plays that might, you know, might hopefully win, but maybe come second, third. That so from your followers in exactly that sort of thing. And maybe starting off in the Queen Anne, it just looks wide open, you know. And I think it's similar enough to last year. It was very wide open. We got a shock winner with Accidental Agent, who's back again. You know, probably two that I consider. Firstly, I'd say One Master, William Haggis's mare, owned by Lael Stable. You know, she ran a belter in the Breeders' Cup in Churchill at the back end of last year. Kind of had a little bit of a so-so prep, but you know, the ground should suit, the type of race should suit, and I think, you know, you could. I can see her. You know, there's maybe a little bit of doubt over whether she'll actually fully stay a fifth mile, but I think she, you know, she has that running style that can should suit the race. And I'd say another one, just simply for the fact that you'll probably get a little bit of value. Laura Glitter loves Ascot, absolutely loves Ascot. I believe was second in the race last year. Was very well supported in the non-Thorpe, the Lockings in Newbury, and just didn't run a great race after his run in Dubai, but if you forgive him that, his Ascot form is excellent. He was only beaten two and a bit lengths by Roaring Lion, and in October on soft ground he was beaten half a length in this race last year. So yeah, I think you know, I'm always open to forgiving horses one bad run, and you know, as a result of that, you generally get a price. So I think, you know, Lord Glitters and One Master for me would probably be the two to take in first.
Well, Lord Glitters is going to be the 7 on the program. One Master is going to be the 16, and I'm glad you pointed out that the familiar jacket. People will see that blue jacket with the white cross and the green sleeves, the Barbaro colors, of course, of the Jacksons, Gretchen and Roy, and you get Haggis here, and That's the 16 accidental agent who Nick likes coming back a second time, and accidental agent is the one. And looking at the odds, Lord Glitters is trading at about 20-1 in the betting shops. One Master is at about 28-1, and accidental agent is about 14-1 right now. Nice.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and accidental agent won it last year. I like him, to be honest. I think he's a bit like Lord Glitters, loves the racetrack. So, I'd agree with Nick there.
That's the 9:30. That's the first race tomorrow. And then we go to the Coventry, 10:05 Eastern. And what do you think?
Yeah, this is just a brilliant race. You know, you've so many reputations coming in here. What's been actually interesting is Aidan O'Brien runs, I think, 3 or 4. And his runners have been very on the ball quite early, actually. Usually they, you know, he's got a lot of horses who won first time up. And one that I probably kind of fancy at, and on jockey bookings maybe is the third choice, is Royal Lytham. Only ran 10 days ago. But I was really struck by just how he travelled in the race. I just think just the impression that he gave me, like Jamie Heffernan was on board that day, he's on board again today. And I think, you know, I think a lot of times when he's running back so soon, I think it's a good sign, and I think he's one definitely to side. I suppose the market's dominated by kind of Arizona, another Aidan O'Brien choice of Ryan Moore, who was deeply impressive in the Curra, both first time up when he lost to a kind of a more streetwise horse, Sunday Sovereign, who's I think running later on in the week, and then. You know, after he annihilated the field next time, further progression, he'll look very, very good. He's by no name ever. Probably would prepare a little bit faster, but still good ground, should be okay. And then Threat as well, Richard Hannans, comes in. I think he looked very green, but I think on his debut, but I think at the finish in the five furlong race in Newmarket, he just looked like he was getting the hang of things. And, like, it was interesting enough, it was a 4-runner race, and he went off at 10-1. So, it's interesting that they didn't know too much of what they had, or they were expecting a bit of improvement. So, you can kind of look at it. You can look at it both ways. You can say, well, he surprised him greatly, and now he's for a good effort. Or, you know, maybe you say, well, you missed the 10-1 in a 4-runner race, and now you're looking at nearly Group 1 standard, and you're trying to take 3-1. So, I'm probably, instead of 3, I'll probably be most interested in, but maybe, like, I'm kind of very keen on the two O'Brien horses of Roy Lytham and Arizona.
Well, and Arizona, basically your favorite, call it about 3-1, and Threat is Threat's looking at about the same, more or less. They're pretty close. Which of the who am I missing here?
Royal Lytham is number 15.
Royal Lytham, there you go. There you go. Royal Lytham is going to be the 15. If you're looking for numbers, Arizona's the 1, Threat is the 16, and Royal Lytham, there he is, 15. And he's trading at 16-1. Jamie Heffernan and O'Brien. And that's your Coventry. That gets us to the King's Stand, where, of course, we had the conversation the other day on Thursday with Joe Orsino in Primus, going to give it a shot. But there's some serious international runners here, including venerable Blue Point, Batash as well. King's Stand thoughts, Kev?
Yes, it's a great race, isn't it? It really is. And they're going to go. Bit of a rerun from last year when I think Batash was all the rage and got mowed down late by Blue Point, I think it's like, you know, I suppose if you're a Batash fan, you're just hoping he behaves himself and he's a bit calmer. He looked very, very good on his reappearance in Haydock a couple of weeks ago. And Blue Point, I think we know all about him. I think, you know, there's probably an argument to say he's in the form, I suppose he is in the form of his life. He's unbeaten this year and he's kind of won. He's looked very good in Maidan, and he's, you know, again, he likes the track. I think that, look, the market hasn't missed the two of them, so I think they're round about where they should be. One horse who I give a huge shot to is number 8, Mab's Cross. The mare, 5-year-old mare, she was third in her last year. She ran on her reappearance. She ran in Newmarket on Goonies Weekend under Group 1 penalty, and she won that day over 5 furlongs, and she looked very, very very impressive. The last day in Haydock, again, Haydock's a very fast course on good to firm ground. She was beaten about 3 and a bit lengths by the patch. But the interesting bit that maybe gives supporters like myself of Mads Cross a bit of confidence is that she had a Group 1 penalty that day. She gave Batash £2, just now a £5 swing in the weight. And, you know, she runs well in Ascot. So I think, she'll be about kind of 9 or 10 to 1, maybe even higher on overseas. It's kind of Michael Dodson, probably a more unfashionable trainer. So I give her a big shot, and I think she'll, you know, I'd be surprised that she was outside the first 3, to be honest.
Well, and Nick, among the non-favorite types, Mab's Cross was Nick's interest as well, with Batash and Blue Point. And there's really nothing preventing Imprimis from, you know, from being a part of this. And he's basically over the weekend held steady as the fifth choice, anywhere from as low as 8 to 1 and as high as 12 to 1.
And yeah, and I'm very looking forward to seeing him. And I think even his last race, beating Ben Nowhere, kind of puts him in the conversation, doesn't it?
It feels like it, and he's I think he's versatile enough to, you know, considering the different kinds of things that Orsino's done with him. I this was a very, very smart gambit to take. Let's talk about the King, not the King James, the St. James Palace, and everybody looking forward to this. Too Darn Hot, and Phoenix of Spain, King of Comedy, and more. What's the lean?
Yeah, it's a great race, and I think it usually sorts out the kind of pecking order for 3-year-old milers just after a couple of guineas. It's probably disappointing Persian King isn't in it, and you would have probably had, a Magna Grecia. I suppose Persian King being the more interesting one. It's very interesting. I think it all revolves around your point of view of, has he trained on, or has he maybe not improved as much as the others? Was it maybe a Gosden misstep so soon after his reappearance in the Irish Guineas, where he was beaten by Phoenix of Spain? So I think, that's probably your starting point in this race, and where you want. Like, Phoenix of Spain went off, I think, at 16 to 1 or something like that in the Irish Guineas, seasonal reappearance, and, won very decisively. And I think it's just an interesting. Not that keen generally to back horses at low prices when they were sent off at bigger first day. Maybe I need a little bit more proof to really come to back them at 2 to 1. And I'm trying to say, I'm keen to get the function in the market, to be honest. And I said the only problem I have is I'm not entirely in love with anyone else, and I'll probably play it around a little bit, like. I'm a big Persian King fan, so that would probably lead me to Chamon, the French raider here, the number 7. And I think like he's run well. He was only beaten a length behind Persian King on kind of relatively soft ground, and you'd like to hope, you know, by Chamorro, hopefully that the better ground will suit. And I think as another Chamorro, Gardeau, the ace, he was third in the English guineas and was relatively well fancied in the Irish guineas and was fourth. And maybe hasn't improved, but I think some of the races over at the Curra on Irish guineas weekend were a little strange, and I'm happy enough to kind of try and search for a price here with kind of the 7 and 8, and just trying to see if I can beat the two favourites. Wouldn't put off anyone off King of Comedy either. Looked very progressive, and they comes in here a little bit like Without Parole, who won it for Gosden last year. So
yep.
You know he's taking the well worn path. So. But I'm keen. I have to say 2-1, 5-2 on Felix Sain, Too Darn Hot. I'm keen to get.
You know, and looking at Too Darn Hot, who was Nick Luck's lean, you know, being out of Doremi, and I'm curious. You know, at this point, she's had enough. You know, she's had this series of you know performers, and I'm at a top of my head, Kev. I can't recall how they've all done it at Ascot. You know, all the Lloyd Webber produce.
Yeah, I'm thinking. I know one of them got beaten in the Billion Mares Champions Day at the end of last year. I always think they have very similar names. So I think it was I think Lassidar, who is back running this year, was beaten by Magical as even money favorite last October and. It was rather the Coronation Cup on the weekend, and we sent off favours. Yeah, they've shown a lot of promise very early, the family, and you know, to one thing or another, they do look fragile, and you know, I think it's maybe like he was such a good 2-year-old that's factored into your price, but there's still that potential there. And maybe the English version of Newspaper or Record, where, you know, was an absolutely fantastic 2-year-old who maybe for one reason or another just hasn't quite done it yet this year.
Well, and I pulled up some of the offspring. Like, for instance, Latidar has been, she was much better at York and at Newmarket than she was at Ascot. You know, and I mean, it's not a lot, not a ton to go on, but, you know, two wins at York at ages 3 and 4, for instance, and she won the Pretty Polly at Newmarket. So just it occurs to me that you do, when you do have these families that, you know, that have had either lots of success or a lack of success at you know, over particular going, it's worth, you know, it's worth noting. Just a thought. Let's talk about the Ascot and the Wolferton before we look ahead. Uh-oh. Did we lose? Yeah. I think we lost Kev. All right. Do you want to get him back, Joe? Or is Kev there? I can hear a little hollow noise. No, that's what I thought. Yeah, no, he's not. I don't think so. Tried to pick up. All right. Yeah, Joe's going to call back. That gets us through the St. James. So the Queen Anne, the Coventry, the Kingstand, the St. James, the Ascot. Yeah. Okay. Johnny's. I understand, folks. He's Irish. He's got a strong. He's got the strong brogue. He liked. And while we wait for him back, he liked one master in the Queen Anne. Who's going to be the 16? That's the Jackson, and Lord Glitters. The 7, and of course on Friday, Nick Luck. Wants to take the price on the chance of a repeat from Accidental Agent, the 1. So the 16 and the 7 for Kev in the Queen Anne. In the Coventry, doesn't have anything price-wise overly enthusiastic. Arizona and Threat, the two favorites, but Royal Latham as a potential push. Mabs Cross, who you heard from Nick Luck as well, and then just now in the St. James, Shaman, the 7, and Skardu, the 8, as some price alternatives. And Kev Humphreys back with us, and we're up to the Ask It Stakes. Kev?
Yeah, and as someone who maybe grew up on jump racing here in Ireland, this is kind of as close to a Cheltenham race at Royal Ascot as you'll get. 2 miles 4, it pays. I thought you could nearly reduce this down to Willie Mullins, who's one of the good few times, and Willie tends to try and book by more. And, he's got a horse called Build Me Up Buttercup, who comes in with a little bit of an underwhelming jump threat. So you're kind of, so if you're backing him, if you're backing her, you're going on reputation and connections and hoping that they know what they're doing. I don't necessarily have too much of a strong view. I do like kind of usually looking towards Mullins kind of in the first instance of the team. He had quite a number last year actually, and he had nearly 4 of the first 6 in at the finish.
That's right.
He only has one running tomorrow, so maybe take that as a sign.
Kevin,
to your viewers or your listeners, but I'm happy with the 18.
Well, the 18, Build Me a Buttercup, and basically trading on the markets at about 5-1, close to being favored. There are a couple of Gordon Elliott runners that got to be considered. No, that Mengli Khan and Bats Rock.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, he's another that, again, has done very well in Cheltenham and had a winner in Royal Ascot. I think, believe it or not, there's a longer race than this on the Saturday, I believe. It's
right.
The last race, the 2 mile 6 race. So he's had a winner of that before. And Mengli Khan has been doing very well over jumps. This year, and comes in, hasn't run probably in the saddle nearly 3 years, but still very fit. And I think I wouldn't put anyone off Mengli Khan or his other runner, or Bats Rock. Don't know necessarily as much about Bats Rock next month, but he's got Frankie up, so he's likely to prove fairly popular.
The last tomorrow is the Wolferton Stakes. For those that missed anything, the 18, Build Me a Buttercup, who probably is going to be favored, but with good reason. And Willie Mullins always has to be respected. We look to the Wolferton, and the first name that I see is the terrific Magic Wand, who we just saw in New York. A month ago, right? He came over for the Man of War. Ran okay.
It was a great race, actually. I thought, kind of looking at Michael Hussey nearly stole it on the front with on Hunty and Horn, but Magic Wand, ran a just usual very good race, So, and I think, she's the starting point. She's been running in Group 1 races around the world. Running on, I initially thought she wanted a fast, but a couple of the races in America have been on kind of more yielding ground. I think Pegasus Turf was on kind of what we might call good ground, or maybe even a little bit slower. Actually, was second to Bricks of Mortar then, and kind of importantly enough, she's won at Royal Ascot. She won last year. She won the Ribblesdale, the 12 furlong race. For 3-year-old filly, so I think she's popular, but I wouldn't put anyone off, and I think she's probably my first choice. you know, it's a very strong list of the race, and you can see, like, there's an Irish sponsor in Macrobe, and you have some Haggis who has some very serious Group 1 form, El Arkham, who's kind of, you know, back to winning ways. But maybe one horse, kind of a bigger price, may go a little bit kind of under the radar a bit, is the number 13, Willie John, trained by Roger Varian, ridden by Andy Asseni. I think, you know, he ran well enough behind El Arkham the other day in Goodwood. And I think, you know, get £3 of a weight difference. And I think, like, one thing I do like sometimes is kind of backing horses second time up against kind of a, you know, a better quality opposition. And I think maybe that was the first time kind of he faced some very decent quality opposition. I think, you know, this time around, maybe a little bit more streetwise, he's a lightly raced 4-year-old. Roger Varian's horses are in form. And I think, yeah, I think he you know, he'll go under the radar. And I think there's a lot of horses from big connections who, you know, will likely be supported. But I think, yeah, Willie John is someone to keep on your side.
What about Varian's other horse with Ocean Murphy, Mountain Angel?
Mountain Angel, yeah. Like, I did consider quite a bit. Like, also the interest that I kind of took from Mountain Angel was just that he's won his last two in Epsom, which is such a quirky track. You know, he's gone up in the weights now, kind of nearly £10 as a result. And I think, you know, while he is improving, you can see that. Epsom just is that quirky track that maybe kind of a more straightforward track, not especially see to his liking, or maybe that's just, I think that those two wins probably is factored into the price. But I absolutely think he's a horse that is well worth his slot in the field, and you know we don't get too many listed races like this. 16 runners and all very, very good horses. Like, you know, that this is you know, this is Royal Ascot, I suppose. You know, you get very, even at listed level, you get horses, you know, who will be competitive in group one races.
Well, the Wolferton closes out tomorrow's action, and we'll be off the air by that point. But Willie John, the 13, the price idea from Kev in the last, and of course Magic Wand, the logical on the front end. Let's glance at Wednesday too, Kev, and we'll, you know, just hit some highlights here and throw out a price. We'll run them down. Things start on Wednesday with the Queen Mary.
Yeah, Queen Mary. It's pretty much the filly's equivalent to the Coventry on the Tuesday. It's a brilliant race. It's very good. I say I wish Wesley Ward the best luck. I think he's got two in the race. I'm probably on the bench a little bit here. If I was pushed for one, William McCreary, kind of a trainer in Ireland. He's got a horse for 13 Ickworth. He's looked very good on voter start so far. Small O'Brien yardstick in next in the correct unyielding going. And I think, you know, she's right 8-1 at the moment. And I think you know, there's a lot of reputations here. One time winners that come with a lot of reputations. She has that a little bit more substance that and an Irish trainer who's maybe not quite as well known, but, you know, just probably that you get a bit more of a price as a result.
Ickworth, you're talking Ickworth, right?
Correct. Yeah.
So Ickworth in the Ickworth, everybody, in the Queen Mary. How about the Vase, Queen's Vase?
Queen's Vase, yeah. There's one actually quite a lot. It would be a great story. It's number 8, Nate the Great, R.T. Watson, and ridden by Holly Doyle. So if Nate the Great did win, actually, it'd be the first female jockey to ride a winner in Royal Ascot for a number of years. And I'd say Holly has been kind of riding fantastically well in the States. I think, you know, he ran, like, I thought he actually ran a belter last year in Ascot, beating the neck in the Chesham Stakes over 7 furlongs. And it always looked like he's always looked like a stayer. And he's run once this year in the Linkfield Derby trials that actually produced the Epsom Derby winner, Anthony Van Tyck, beaten 4 lengths. And I think he just kept on going. It looked like he was going to be 4th or 5th, and just kept on pulling out that little bit more. And I think the extra 2 furlongs here will suit. And I think it's relatively open, but I think he's an improver, and I think he will give myself and other supporters a great one for their money.
Nate the Great. In the second, that's the Queen's Vase on Wednesday. Let's go to the Prince of Wales, which is a small group. Probably not a price to really, when you're talking about Magical and Crystal Ocean, Vaultgeist. I mean, you got to feel the Sea of Class. You get the sense that one of the reliables comes through here. So unless you have something, right?
I think this is, I think you guys had the Met Mile, which was, probably the race of the year. This is kind of nearly the equivalent on this side of the water. I thought I wouldn't put anyone off any of the favourites, and I think I've had a small bit each way on Deirdre at a big price, the Japanese Raider, but maybe more so because my son is called Deirdre, but she's a big supporter, but I think it'll be a fun race, and it'll be really interesting to see what your class is like, because she was the moral winner of the arc. There was so much debate about the ride and what happened. She was so close to Mabel. Magical was so close to Mabel in the Breeders' Cup. She's come on. She's won a couple of times in Ireland. Salos knocked the door on a Group One. Wow, that looked brilliant. It's a brilliant race. This is what you're in racing for, to watch races like this.
Let's go forward and find a price maybe in the Duke of Cambridge.
Again, this is probably, horses that hopefully will be in Group Ones later on. I'm keen enough to try and find someone. And strikes me as, again, at a price, is Preening, number 11, James Fanshawe. Very shrewd trainer, has had success in Royal Ascot quite a bit, and I'm loving his jockey booking of Karen McAvoy here on Preening. Ran 2 months ago, season of reappearance on the All Weather, beaten a length by another runner in the race, the two. And I think there's definitely improvement there from 3 to 4 for Preening Fanshawe's horse. I think that's probably the if I'm searching for a price in the race, wide open, say 16, 17 runners, I do like her a lot.
Preening, Preening, folks. Preening 25-1 right now in the bookie shops, and this is a Kev Humphreys special. This is the kind of horse that Kev sniffs out every year at this stand. And of course, here in this country, Preening most typically is tied together with Schmo. Preening Schmo, as used very often by Tony Kornheiser. whenever I see Preening, Schmo comes with it. Let's look at the last two on the day. You've got the Royal Hunt and the Windsor Castle on Wednesday.
Yeah, Royal Hunt, as I just said, best of luck trying to find somebody here. I really liked Settle for Bay last year, and he was probably as easy a winner of a competitive handicap as you'll easily see. He's back for more this year. He's around the same price, and I think if the ground quickens up a little bit, David Mermaine, doesn't send him over for nothing, and I think he looked a little bit better last time. So Silver Bay, I think the other one to keep an eye out on is Robin of Navin. not too many Group 1 winners run in handicaps. He did win a Group 1 all the way back in, I think, 2015. But he ran a really good race the start of May in Ascot over a mile. And if you maybe look at that, he was beaten three lengths, but if you look at the two horses in front of him, was Barney Roy, who's kind of contesting the Queen Anne and kind of subsequently won a race after that. And the winner was Zaki, Michael Stout, who won. And like, you know, he's a bit in and out, but I think, you know, if I was kind of pushed on two horses now in the crazy handicap, I'd go for the 6, Robin of Navan, and the 8, Special Purvey.
Well, let me give everybody the name again. This is at noon on Wednesday, the Royal Hunt Cup, and Settle for Bay. Settle, S-E-T-T-L-E, for Bay, B-A-Y. Currently in the shops, about the third choice, 12-1, more or less, and has actually been kind of moving, up in I should say down in price, but up the board. And Robin of Navan, N-A-V-N, N-A-V-A-N, the 6 is Robin of Navan, the 8, Settle for Bay, the Windsor Castle. And this has been a spot where Wesley Ward has in the past. And how about that foolish humor of his trading right now as the second choice?
Yeah, no, it looks very, very good. I haven't had a detailed look at this, but the one thing I do like is that, you know, I think if you've got a strong traveller in the red, that will give you half a chance, because they just go very fast, and particularly with Wesley's horses in there. It'll be interesting to see if the ground stays quick. My general rule is if the ground stays quick, you kind of have to keep an eye on Ward's horses. If it gets a bit slower, it just turns into a bit more of a stamina stopping, and you probably want those six furlong horses in this race. I haven't had too much of a look. Like the one horse who, again, if it stays quick, would be the Southern Hills Aidan O'Brien's horse. I don't know how it got beaten the last day. It barely seems to be able to stay 5 furlongs. So, but maybe a very fast run race. He is a strong traveller, and I think if he's held on to that a little bit longer, you know, he's a horse that can run well. Now, to say, he hasn't necessarily been missed in the market, so there's not there's not much juice in the price. But like the one thing I would say is, like, you know, this race has had a habit of throwing up some huge price. Whereas I think it might have been actually Wesley's first winner's fight, the Tiger, when it was run on the Tuesday, won at a big price. I think it's definitely had 66-1, 100-1 winners and place horses. So, you know, it's mad. It's a great spectacle to the end of the day. But it's not something I have strong opinions on just yet. Some more work needed on that.
All right. Well, then we'll see what your thoughts are. And Wednesday, when I'm doing the race live, when leading up to it, we'll get further thoughts. And just got a couple of minutes left, Kev. Might as well stay with you. Looking ahead the rest of the week, pick a spot or two, some horses that you might, you know, that you know you're going to bet. And of course, Thursday we got the Norfolk and the Hampton Court, the Ribblesdale, and the Gold Cup, which is one of the great races, really all year long, not just at Royal Ascot. But Thursday is a fun day, the King George as well, and then on Friday the King Edward, the Albany, etc. Pick a few spots.
Yeah, Tuesday and Wednesday, I think, are my favorite days, but it just continues on, and it's a great day. Maybe I might start probably from a confidence view going all the way to Saturday, and I think in the Diamond Jubilee, the 6 furlong Group 1 sprint. I really like City Light quite a bit in this spot. Was second in the race last year, and, you know, comes in with a slightly, I think maybe he surprised connections last year, and kind of just the rate of improvement, and I think they probably learned from that, and maybe just kept him that little bit fresher for this race. You know, Inns, of course, is probably the horse that's kind of the particularly is the one that's kind of getting a lot of attention. You know, the fab miler turned sprinter, but City Light runner, you know, that the form ties in quite well with him, and you know, I probably have a little favour on Inns, of course, but City Light is kind of a horse I really think will run well.
That's on Saturday, and of course the Diamond Jubilee, the other big sprint of the week, that's where Bound for Nowhere is headed, of course, for Wesley, but City Light, just as it sounds, sort of like City of Light, but take out the of. City Light, yep. Right now trading as third choice at about 8-1 on Saturday in the Diamond Jubilee, which I think goes as the fourth of the morning. Yeah, so... goes off at 10:20 10:20 Saturday morning.
Yeah, and then actually maybe same with the on Saturday the race after the horse called Hey Jonesy, who runs in the Woking Limit. It's pretty much it's a 30 runner handicap over six furlongs. It's mad, but it's brilliant and it's a great betting race. Hey Jonesy has good Ascot course form, and he is, you know, I think he's primed on, you know, he's been running quite well this year, has run decent races in Ascot, ran in the Commonwealth Cup, ran in the Group 1 race last year, and he's a horse to watch out for, kind of 25-1 at the moment, and I think we'll definitely be getting my attention email on the Saturday.
Excellent. Hey Jonesy, just the way it sounds. H-E-Y Jonesy. Hey Jonesy at a big price on Saturday. So the Diamond Jubilee and the Wokingham Stakes back to back. Time for maybe just one more wild card play, Kev.
Yeah, well, can I maybe say, and it's maybe for followers who are interested in, you know, if you take some of your big handicaps and looking for maybe not an obvious horse to run second or third to kind of get a bit of a price. And
sure.
What I would do is I'd recommend so there's two Australian jockeys, Karen McAvoy and James Donald, absolutely brilliant jockeys. I think they ride Ascot so well, and I believe they've got two, three, four mounts a day. They generally are. They're trying to find it. They're picking their right here, there. They're not always on the first choice. Designed for Charlie Astley, the Godolphin, Jason Donald's running a few for Charlie Hills and so on, and then they'll be picking up steps. But they're smart jockeys. They've ridden at Ascot before. They've ridden winners in Ascot before in Royal Ascot before. Jason Donald actually rode the British Mile winner to win the Jersey. So last year, they're smart guys, and I think if you see them on a 25-33-1 shot that you like, you know, either have a few dollars win play show or come in underneath on in exactives or trifectas. So I think they'll they'll do well and they'll finish as well as they can with both Karen McAvoy and Jake McConnell on board.
You know, I got McAvoy, whose name I know. The second rider.
So it's James McDonald.
Oh, James McDonald. Okay. So McDonald and McAvoy as jock plays, and when it comes to this, in addition to the horses that people like, or if you're taking Kev's advice and Nick Lux, etc., and playing Ollie Bell and everybody else that will be providing insights, that's a good way to fill out your multi horses if you're throwing horses in your tries and so forth. Jock and trainer. You know, Willie Mullins, Gordon Elliott, the names that we know from over here to fold in. Kev, how does everybody follow you this week? Twitter, right? They can jump aboard.
Twitter. Ask Kev Home. You can. I don't have too many followers now, Steve. So you can.
That'll change.
Happy enough to chat in when I look. They love my race and love typing up. Typing up my selections and just helping out. And look, it's a great week, it's a fun week, and it's 5 days of brilliant action. You don't normally get great racing on, you wake up in the morning and you guys in the States and you can, you know, straight away watch it then. So yeah, no, it's brilliant fun. And yeah, here Tuesday and Wednesday after races, and then we'll be watching at home like everybody else. And
enjoy.
Yeah.
We'll be watching. We'll be looking in the royal enclosure for you and the bridey. Kev, thanks a lot. So much fun. Kev Humphries, and you follow him, K-E-V-H-U-M. Thanks to Tom Bush, Dallas, and Brett Calhoun, and Johnny D. Talk to you tomorrow, day one, Royal Ascot.